Let's try that again. Good morning, saints. And good morning, sinners. Elliot, thank you, and choir, thank you. Elliot's one of our good college students, and we're having a good gathering every Sunday morning with our college students. Take your Bibles and turn to the first book of the Bible. It is Genesis chapter 24. That chapter is composed of 67 verses. It takes two full pages in my Bible to tell that story. And considering that the story of Abraham goes from Genesis 12 to Genesis 25, evidently the narrator wanted us to get something very important from this passage because of the amount of area that story took in the Holy Word of God. So I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Hear now the Word of God from the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to his senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I am living. But you will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. The servant asked him, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there, Abraham said. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me on oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send an angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from this oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant left. Almighty God, in the strong name of Jesus, we ask that you give us wisdom to discern what this entire chapter is about. And may we seek application in our own lives. May lives be transformed, O God, through the power of the Holy Spirit today. May people who are desperate find hope. People who are wondering find purpose and destination. And may those who have never called on the name of Jesus call upon him for the first time and begin that eternal relationship with him. We pray this in the strong and holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may remember this. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Okay. Let's try that again. Now, I want you to listen to the words. And what does this song say about who we are? Are you ready? Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And you remember what would happen in VBS after that. you would start going wild with all the motions. But here it is. So many times in our lives, we take this story and relegate it to history. But we are sons and daughters of Abraham. And so the story continues. Now in chapter 24, it goes like this. Abraham was old, and God had blessed him. His son needed a wife. So he called before him his trusted confidant to go back to his homeland, a journey that would take up to 5 days. To go back to his homeland, and there, among his own people, God would lead that servant to the woman his son would marry. And when the servant gets there, he comes to a city. He stops outside of it near a well. He prays to God Almighty that God would send whom God would want. And God sends a beautiful woman named Rebecca. She follows the fleece that the servant had laid out, that she would first take care of his needs of water and drink, and then that she would on her own say, I will also water your camels. Now imagine 10 camels and how much camels drink. That lady was worn out by the time she fulfilled that vision. And then he says, who are you? And he finds out that she's not only from that area, but she's in the same clan as Abraham came from. The servant goes to Rebekah's home, greeted by the brother and later by her father, who both listen to the story that the servant shares about Abraham's vision for his son having a wife from his homeland. And they say, we are in full support. And then Rebecca comes onto the scene, and she too says, I am willing. And so, the story continues. Now, what has that got to do with you and me? Well, if you journey back in the book of Genesis, you'll see for Abraham, it began with a call. Look with me in Genesis chapter 12 right quickly. Look with me in Genesis chapter 12. Here is the call of Abraham in Genesis 12 verse 2. It goes like this. God says to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. This is what compelled Abraham to leave his home and to go to a destination unknown. Let me say this emphatically this morning. What each of us needs in our own life is a calling from God Almighty. The calling that will take you through the good times and take you through the tough times. Everyone needs to know that God has called him or her by name and say, this is your purpose in life. And like Abraham, we shall only discern it as we get on the road and go through the murkiness of life. So, are you on the road today? Or are you sitting? Are you moving? Where are you going? What is God's call upon your life? Now, in chapter 15, we see that God confirms this through a covenant. He says, you're going to have a son of your own flesh and blood. Then he invites Abraham to go outside and he says, do you see the stars? That's how many descendants you will have. You see, today we are sons and we are daughters of Abraham. Now, the road was not always easy. Neither was Abraham and Sarah always faithful. On two separate occasions, when Abraham walked into a strange land and confronted two separate kings, he told them that Sarah was his sister. This man of God, who had a strong calling on his life, would jeopardize his wife like that? Or consider the time when Sarah and Abraham began doubting that God would give them a progeny, a son. And Sarah says, "Here, take my slave, Hagar. Lie with her. Conceive. And maybe that will be the child of promise." Have you ever doubted God along the way? And gone to plan B when there should only have been a plan A? Even then, that was not enough. When God came again in their presence, through the like of these strange visitors in 18 of Genesis, we see that Sarah laughed at the thoughts that she, as an old woman, would have a child. And yet, by the time of Genesis 24, we see God saying, "You've done well, Abraham. And this old man who had missed the mark so many times knew that he had one more thing that needed to be done. He had to make sure that the promise continued. He had to make sure that the promise continued. So here is what he did. And you know what? We're children of promise. And each of us is going to come to a crossroad like this in our life, that God has placed a calling on our life that affects not only us, but it affects our family. It affects not only our family, but it affects the kingdom of God. It affects not only the kingdom of God, but it affects the world. This is what God wants us to do. This is how God wants us to be. He wants us to be world changers, kingdom shapers, our eyes off of only ourselves, but onto a world that is craving to know if we are for real. So the first thing that he did to make sure that the promise continued is this: he realized that his time was limited. He was an old man. He realized that his days were numbered. Now, among the many things that we have in common here today is this: each of us has a limited time span. We do not know how long each will live. It is important then that we do the following: that we take care of what matters most to God. And for Abraham, he realized by this stage in his life, well past 100 years old, that it was not only about a son, not only about his wife, it was about a nation's history and a world's destiny. What if you and I began seeing our families and the decisions we made in light of our families as shaping not only a husband and a wife and children, but affecting the very destiny of the world, because the decisions we make now reverberate across the world? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. It is important that those we love most, that God has put under our direct sphere of influence, know that they are children of destiny, that we are a family of destiny, that we are a church of destiny. The second thing he realized is this, that who your child marries matters. Who your child marries matters. Now, he's in Canaan. He's away from his homeland, a 5-day journey away. He looks out to the Canaanite people, and he realized that their worldview and who they worship, how they live, is quite antithetical to what the God of the covenant, Yahweh, would have them to be. Now, at this point, he could have compromised and said, you know, here is a beautiful Canaanite lady. I believe that in time, she could change and be molded to become like us. This was not so much a decision of race as it was what you believe, your world view. So this old man who had blown it on several occasions, even with Isaac, his last wish was to get it right and to do everything within his power to make sure that Isaac married well. When I was a youth minister at another church, while I was in college, I took a group of youth to Ridgecrest Baptist Center. And there was a speaker there that week by the name of Fred Wolf. At that time, he was a prominent Baptist pastor in Mobile, Alabama. Well, he made the mistake of saying during his sermon that he liked to run. At that point, I could run. And so I went up to him and I said, can I run with you? So at 3 o'clock the next day, we met outside and I ran. I said, sir, I'm in ministry. I want you to tell me now what I need to know. You have been in it for a few years. What do I need to know? And I'll never forget what he says. Be careful and be wise about who you marry. Because that will be the one that you become one with, not only sexually, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And that person will either take you closer to Christ or draw you away from Christ, and you can be that same influence on her. Be careful, be wise about who you marry. The third thing he did was this. In order that the promise would continue, he wanted the one whom Isaac would marry to know the value of the promise. To know the value of the promise. Therefore, in Genesis chapter 24, it says this, that Isaac may be tempted to go back to his homeland of origin, but it is strategically important to remain here in Canaan. Now, Abraham knew that he would never live to see the promise become reality. It would be many generations before the Israelites would leave captivity in Egypt and come into the land of promise. Abraham would never see his promise realized. But he knew this, that he had to stay planted where God had planted him. He did not need to move. He did not need to compromise, because each step was important for the fulfillment of the promise. And fourthly is this. There's the value in this text of a trusted friend and a valued confidant. In this text, everyone receives a name except this servant. Now, in that day and age, there were servants at the bottom of the totem pole, and there were ones almost on equal with the one who supervised them. This servant was a trusted confidant. When Abraham himself could not do what needed to be done, there was someone to step into his place and fulfill his wishes. There's a dear brother in the church, Keith Batson, who has said to me on numerous occasions, John, there's going to come a time when our children will not look to us as the chief authority in their life. We need to be praying now while they're in diapers, while they're toddlers, that God will raise up that person who can get to them when we cannot get to them. This servant put his life on hold and traveled with a caravan across desolate regions to do a mission that was nebulous at best, not as clearly defined as it may seem. But when he got to the homeland, the first thing that he did was drop to his knees and pray to God. And when God answered him, he once again dropped to his knees and worshiped God Almighty. This is the person that you want in your corner with you. Reaching your son who's afar off, reaching your daughter who's afar off, that God would raise up that person who can see them through to fulfill the promise that God has given them for their destiny. The last thing I want to point out in this text is this. When you read Genesis 24, you will notice this. There's a narrator who's telling the story. The narrator lets us in almost immediately that the promise is going to be fulfilled. We know it before the servant knows it because the narrator tells us. But after the narrator tells us, the servant catches on and realizes, yes, Rebecca is the one. And before long, Laban, Rebekah's brother, Bethuel, the daddy, catches on. And then at the end, Rebekah does. And it says that Isaac loved Rebekah. Do you see what happens? Do you see what happens as you follow God? The narrator is God, so to speak. He knows. But by being faithful, the servant discovers the will of God. And when the servant is faithful, the brother and father catch on. And before long, the daughter catches on. You see how God reveals his will one person at a time. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham, I am one of them. and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Do you realize today that your children promise? And every decision that you make for your family either keeps them on that road or takes them off. Here is a beautiful story about a daddy's dying wish. For this story is caught right between the death of Sarah, Isaac's mama, and the death of Abraham, who died shortly after Rebekah and Isaac became one. Let's raise up families of destiny. Families that realize there's a higher calling on their life than the accumulation of resources. There's a higher calling than what you dress and how you look. There's a higher calling to fit into the larger story, specifically here and now. Almighty God, we love you, we praise you, and we adore you. And we thank you, O God, that we are still the children of Abraham, that we're living out the promise to be a great people, to have strength and dominion in a very positive way over this world, to turn people to Jesus Christ. May we live up to our calling. May we live up to our destiny. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jesus is in this place, and he's calling us to live out our destiny. Jesus has a calling upon each one of us. Will you respond to that calling today? Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 441. As God so leads you, would you publicly respond? Like Abraham, get up and move out. Like the servant, get up and move out. Do it in a public way. Unashamedly, that God is calling you to be a person of influence, a person of destiny, a child of Abraham living out the promise. Let's stand and let's sing.